Let's start by calling on God's name once more. Please join me as we pray. Jesus, thank you for your love for a city and your love for a person. Lord, you don't just love large groups of people. Lord, you love the individual. And you know us. Lord, you know us down to the hairs on our head, the molecules in our cells. You know us infinitely and intimately. Lord, with that knowledge, you know what we need from you, from your word, from your spirit in this moment. God, through your resurrection, through your death and resurrection, you change the world and you change us. Change us again through your word today. We pray this in your name. Amen. So, we think about communicators, great communicators. Who comes to mind for you? Just take a second, maybe 10. Who is a great communicator? Like, if you had to pick the one person, like, oh, it's this girl or this guy. Like, it's a TED Talk I saw. It was a teacher I had. It was a pastor I grew up with or I know, right? For me, I've had a lifetime filled with great speakers. My dad's a pastor, so he taught me a bit about speaking and living and doing this kind of work in ministry. And as great as he is, I love my dad. He's not the greatest, but I love my dad more than anybody. But in terms of great speakers, my mind, at least as I was considering this, goes to Jim Gaffigan, right? Now, as you think about comedians, and maybe you don't know Jim Gaffigan, but he's a comedian, and he's pretty clean, which is a lot to say for comedians nowadays. But you think about comedians in general and what they have to do. Like, they stand up here with no screens, little lights, no scenery. Like, it's just a blank stage, maybe some curtains, maybe some color in the background, and that's it. And they have to hold your attention for an hour, right? Like, I'm lucky if I get about 10 minutes, right? And sometimes I double that, and that's when I lose you. But the thing about Jim Gaffigan is that he is such a great speaker, and he's not just funny, but he knows how to weave stories together to really make some truly hilarious jokes, but also some significant points, right? And when you think about Jonah, there's really not a whole lot of comparison between him and Jim Gaffigan, right? I would never make that comparison naturally, except that when you think about this, Jonah's communicating to a city, right? And he doesn't have slides or lights. All he has is the word that God gave him. And that's what he goes with. And I myself have been guilty, probably in this sermon series, of giving Jonah a really hard time for being a terrible speaker, right? His message is 5 Hebrew words long, right? In English, it's not that much more, right? Yet 40 days and Nineveh, the city, will be overthrown. That's not great. But you look at Jonah's message and you look at what it did, right? And Nineveh was overturned, but not by the wrath of God, but by his grace. And we look at the story of Jonah and the preacher that he is and he's not. And there are 3 things I want to focus on from chapter 3 today. 3 thoughts. One is that God loves the city. And then that this next truth from the message of Jonah and from the grace of God. Today is brand new. And tomorrow is too. And lastly, you are a child of God. So God loves the city. Today is brand new, and tomorrow is too. And you are a child of God. And we think about cities. How would you define a city? Take your best stab at it with somebody sitting next to you. How would you define a city? Go. If I could get this mic turned back on, the one we used for children's message. Thank you for going with me in this moment. I appreciate you. Does anybody feel like sharing their kind of working definition of what a city is? Go ahead.
I'd say multiple communities comprised of like neighborhoods and businesses that could exist on their own, but instead they're stacked and clustered together to make something larger.
Yeah. So multiple businesses and neighborhoods, communities that could exist on their own, but instead they exist and coexist together. Yeah, that's good. Any other takers? Oh, it's not working? I don't know. Oh, maybe I need to turn it on. Sorry, Cody. Regina, did I see your hand?
Yeah,
go ahead. There it is.
Multiple people living in a collection, some of them living together, some of them living separately.
Okay, yeah. So everybody hear that all right? That's good. Yeah, I think that those are pretty close. And I think they're going to all be fairly similar. So mechanical. There we go. It's large groups of people living and dying in the same general area, right? So there are businesses, there are causes, there are truths and things we ebb and flow from, stories that change and shift how and the way we live. But largely, all over the world, cities are large groups of people that could exist on their own, but exist together, and they live and die in that same area. Whether they are alone or they feel alone, but it's in a large collection of people. And this is why God loves the city, right? Because God loves people. And it's not like God loves the city more than the country, right? That's not what this point is about. It's that he does love people wherever they are. And cities are large groups of people living and dying together. And that's where God wants to do his work as well. And we also see this in Revelation, in the picture of Jerusalem coming down from heaven. When Jesus returns at the end of all things, Jesus returns and he makes everything new, better than it ever was. And Jerusalem, John, the writer of Revelation, talks about how Jerusalem descends from the clouds like a bride meeting her bridegroom. And if any of you have ever been to a wedding, just that walk of the bride, it seems like it takes a long time, but it also seems like it's over in an instant. And just the joy of that moment when the husband and wife are together, just in that moment, it's a thing of beauty. And it's actually something that points toward the end of all things. It's not an accident that God depicts the new creation, everything being made new, as a city. Because we think about also what happens in cities, right? There's despair and hardship, but there's also hope and opportunity. And so we have all that going on all at once right now, but at the end of all things, that despair and hardship is over. Hope is fulfilled, so it's done its job, and there's just opportunity to love and live without sin, without death. And so God loves the city, and while we wait for him to return, he's active in cities. And so what we need in the city, in this city now, is that picture of what's to come and the promise of what God is doing now, right? That promise that today is brand new and tomorrow is too. And that comes to us from a book called Lamentations. A prophet Jeremiah wrote this book, and he wrote it as one of God's prophets in exile. Right? So he was part of God's people that were taken out of the promised land because of Israel's rebellion against God. They abandoned God, and so God took them out of the land he promised them. And Jeremiah is over there knowing what they've lost. And so he writes this lament. But in the middle of this lament is this beautiful two verses from Jeremiah that he writes that the steadfast, the unending, the unfailing, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. And so I'm taking this line. Today is brand new and tomorrow is too, from an author and speaker, a really good communicator, one of my favorites, John Acuff. He wrote a book and does a presentation on something called soundtracks, speaking on soundtracks, and just how the soundtracks that get in our head usually send us to dark and just places of struggle, not of help. And so we need to change the soundtracks in our head. And one of those soundtracks is this, I think, this promise that comes from God's word, that today is brand new and tomorrow is too. Nineveh needed to know this. They didn't deserve to know it, right? This is the city in the midst of the empire that's oppressing Jonah's people, God's people. And God wants them to know, even Israel's enemy, he wants them to know, today is brand new and tomorrow is too. And you think about verse 2 of Jonah, of this word that God gave Jonah. And here's the thing, right? It's God's word. It's not Jonah's word. It's God's word, these five verses. And in Jonah chapter 3, we hear that Jonah was faithful. He did proclaim it. He preached it. In the English translation, they even add an exclamation point. I don't know if that's how it really came across, but Jonah did his job. So maybe he isn't quite the terrible preacher that I and others assume he was, because he did preach the word that God gave him to preach. And as short as that message was, as brief as that was, it didn't even mention God. It was the message God gave him to speak. And why are we so surprised that God can do so much with so little? Think about the history of Israel, if you know it. You aren't familiar with a man named Gideon, who was the least in his family, and his family was least in the tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel. He was the bottom of the bottom, and he's the one that God appeared to and said, God is with you, mighty warrior. The least is a mighty warrior? How is that possible? Because of the one who speaks to him. The Almighty God picked Gideon, the least. He picked David, who was also the least of his seven brothers, to be king. And not just king, but to be a foreshadowing figure of who he was going to be as Jesus. David is not just an ancestor to Jesus. He points us toward Jesus. He's a type of Jesus. And as if that weren't enough, we see the word of God throughout Scripture. God said at the beginning, let there be, and it was. And we see how he works through the lives of faithful and unfaithful people like David and Gideon and Jonah and others. He also works through bread and wine and water, things that are simple, but he uses it to overturn everything in this world, in our lives, and in his church. God does beautiful, amazing things through simple things. He uses two wooden beams to bear the sin of the world. He uses a simple hole in the ground as a grave to make his entry into new life. And if you believe that Jesus died on that cross, those two simple wooden beams, if you believe he rose from the dead out of that opening in the ground, you are a child of God. Just like Jonah, who believed in the promises of God, even though he rebelled, he still believed. And you're just like the Ninevites, the city of Nineveh, that responded to the work and word of God in their midst. Because here's the thing about God loving the city and sending someone to speak to it. It means he's already at work in that city. He was already at work in the hearts and the minds of those Ninevites, even though they're the enemy of his people. So that when Jonah came and delivered those five simple words, he overturned the city. God overturned the city because he overturned their hearts. Do you believe that God is at work in this city? Do you believe he's at work in Ann Arbor? That there are people here in whose lives he is already at work? And you, as a child of God, is he at work in your heart? Because Jesus was in the grave, in the belly of the earth for 3 days for you, because he comes to you with a word, he is risen, right? And that's something we celebrate. We have a bit of a tradition here, even as a new church, right? So I'll say he is risen. Maybe you echo with, he is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let's try that. 1, 2, 3. He is risen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because this makes all the difference. Jesus being resurrected makes all the difference. It's the sign of Jonah that God gave his people, that this is the thing you have been waiting for. And because God comes to you with that message, and if he can use somebody like Jonah, he can use me. He does use me. If God can use somebody like Jonah, he can use you. And he does use you. He sends you. He gathers you here, and he sends you out. God has given you a word. He's connected you and is connecting you to a city, this people. He's connected you to a neighborhood, and maybe this neighborhood is your neighborhood. Maybe there's another neighborhood that's another part of the city, but that's all right because God sends us to this city, right? Large groups of people living and dying together. And they all need a word that God has given you. So, go and share the word. There's a pastor, I think it's either in Mississippi or Alabama. I can't quite remember. He preached the shortest Easter sermon ever. If you're from Concordia, you may have heard this already. But I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago, maybe more. He gets up on Easter morning and he says, "It's all true." And then he sits down. Like, on the one hand, it kind of feels like, brother, like, did you do your job? On the other hand, he didn't have to say anything else. Because when we celebrate Easter, we celebrate it with lights and signs and videos sometimes and songs and words and activities. Like, that's all preaching the message. And all God gave him to do in that moment were 3 words. It's all true. God is sending you with his word. And maybe it's 3 words, maybe it's 5, or maybe it's a conversation. And if you're wondering how to do that, you can join us on Wednesday at 6 o'clock for the Mission Pathway Experience. We'll explore just how to do that. But this is who God is. He is faithful. He is good. He loves the city. He makes every day brand new. And he makes you his child with a word to share. So let us go and share that good news. In his name, amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for this word. Thank you for the word that is short and sweet, for the word that is long and enduring. It speaks to our needs in all kinds of ways and perspectives, Lord, but it is your truth. It is your way. It is your life. Work all of that in our hearts, that it comes out through our mouths, that it's in our posture as we listen, that we see in our neighbor and we see in our city, in this city that is your city, that it is a city you love, a city you died to save, a city you rose to bring new life to. God, bring new life to us. And that, Lord, let it not stop with us. Let it flow through us to our homes, to our neighbors, to your city, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.